Welcome to Home Education Matters, the weekly podcast supporting you on your home education journey. Hello and welcome to another episode of Home Education Matters. And today I'm joined by Jeanette from Get Key Ed Up, and we are going to be talking about citizenship and global citizenship, because these are exam specifications that are popular amongst home educators but aren't generally done by schools, and as a result they're not very well known, but they're very popular because they're very nice subjects and they fit very nicely into the home ed ethos. So I thought I would ask Jeanette to hold our hand and guide us through citizenship and global citizenship. So before we get started, I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Jeanette, and do tell us a little bit about yourself and your home ed journey and what brought you into kind of citizenship, global citizenship teaching.
Hi, and thank you for having me. So my background is I was an assistant head teacher, actually in a special school in the end. I started out in mainstream in primary schools, funnily enough. So I trained to teach all subjects, which is really my forte. But I ended up, I always knew I wanted to work in special education and moved to special ed, and ended up in the school that I was in. It changed to become a through school, primary and secondary. And they begged me to take on secondary science GCSE because nobody else wanted it. And I did. And it was doing that that I realized that a good teacher, if you're primary style teacher, you can teach any subject well because you're good at teaching. It's not about the subject knowledge as much. And so when I took Tegan, my daughter, out of school when she was 10, she was in a private school, and it's a long story, but I left work and took her out of school before secondary. She did fine in primary school, but she's on the autistic spectrum and now ADHD diagnosed. And we knew secondary was going to be a huge jump, and she was getting stressed by year five. So I was like, right, let's home educate. A single mum. So gave up work and home educated Tegan and thought, how are we going to earn some money? Did two things. We set up a children's party business, which was wild, and she ran with me. And then I started tutoring online. And I did it based on the things we enjoyed rather than the things I was particularly trained in, because maths was my specialist subject. And we started with environmental management, which you all know I love and is my key joy. But then we started looking at citizenship, because why not? It's absolutely essential. It's about living in your world, how your world works. It's about identity, politics. If you do the AQA spec, which I'll talk about the different specs in a minute, you're looking at life in your own country, in modern Britain, and democracies and other governments. You're looking at your rights, your responsibilities, participation. And it's so essential nowadays to do that, voting, everything. But we didn't know about AQA at the time, and we studied global citizenship. And in some ways, I like both specifications, but they're a different slant. One is very UK-centric, and global is obviously worldwide and less UK-based. But it's a brilliant specification. It's recently changed, so there aren't many past papers on it, but it covers politics and governance throughout the world. So you're comparing countries' governance and politics, economic development and the environment, which fits really nicely with environmental management, I have to say. If you've done environmental management, you've covered half of that unit. Culture and community, which is fabulous because obviously it's looking into different cultures and communities and why it's important. And then technology, which is really how technology is used in citizenship. So it's things like the use of social media, but there's also a whole unit on energy and climate change. It's about technology and economic development. But again, I find global really links to EM the best, because it might be the use of technology to help farmers in Kenya.
And is global citizenship also Cambridge, like EM is also Cambridge?
No, it's EdExcel Pearson EdExcel, and it's an IGCSE. In terms of the differences, and I'm going to just get this up on screen for me so that I can make sure that I absolutely get this right. The AQA GCSE,
they in both citizenship have a, or in citizenship. In global, okay, yeah.
AQA GCSE is citizenship. That also they both have a project. So that's the thing that's the same between the two. That's an active citizenship project, which I'll talk about more in a minute because you need to understand that in depth. The difference with AQA GCSE is that you do need to get that project signed off by a tutor, and then you need to have them attached to an exam centre so that the exam centre will sign it off. So I, for example, am a partner with Tutors in Exams and also with Faragos, the Home Education Centre, and both of them will accept students that have done the project through me. Now, when I say doing the project through me, it's me kind of giving you work to do, you coming up with a project that you want to do, you doing all the work, sending it to me, I monitor it, and then say I'm happy and confident that you've done it, basically.
What percentage of the mark is that, or isn't it one?
Right. No, it absolutely is, but it isn't in as such a percentage of the mark by itself. It's not examined separately, Eleanor. Uh-huh. It's examined as part of the exam paper.
It's like astronomy, then.
I don't know astronomy well.
Astronomy is the same. You have to do observations and they get ticked off, and it has to be shown to the exam centre that you've done them. But the questions in the exam relate to that. So it's almost like you don't get marked for it, but you have to know it in order to answer questions about it in the exam.
Correct. Well, we'll do AQA first. The active citizen project for that is 40 marks on the first paper out of 80. So it's a quarter of the overall GCSE. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a real bonus for home educators, I have to say, because if schools do the GCSE citizenship or even the IGCSE, I don't think they do the project particularly well. If you think about it realistically, you might have 4 or 5 year, you know, cohorts in a year with 30 children in each class, and they've all got to do a project. And the project's very active. It's about the citizen doing it themselves, a young person doing it themselves. So you come up with a project idea. It's got to fit within one of the themes, which we'll talk about in a minute. And then you've got to come up with a way of carrying it out, and it needs to show that it makes a difference, really. So it's not something as simple as going and volunteering in a soup kitchen for a day or doing a cake sale. If you do that, you are taking action, but it's not going to get you the marks on the exam that you need.
So with the AQA GCSE citizenship, there's a project, and you're asked questions about it in the exam. And
that's,
I'm guessing,
right.
The questions are things like, why did you choose it? How did you set it up? What challenges did you...
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. So why did you choose it? What difficulties did you face? What difference did it make? It might be, how did you choose your subject in terms of your research, you know, your primary and secondary research? How did you analyze your results? Things like that. So the kind of projects that I've done with students before, I mean, when I taught this online, I was teaching it during COVID, which made things a lot more challenging, but in other ways easier because you had to do the project online. So the children did a survey online about waste plastic, because most of the children that did citizenship with me were doing EM. So we picked EM topics that they were really confident with. Mm-hmm. So we looked at waste plastic, and they chose to, as a group, look at waste plastics in supermarkets. And they looked at whether supermarkets would reduce their use of plastic. And they did that. So each student within the group then did it in a slightly different way so that it made it their own, but they can all contribute to the end result. So what I plan to do for this from May onwards is set up a group which is a project group to help people get through the project if they want to.
Now, that's a nice idea. Mm.
You can do it on your own, but AQA specifically prefer that you do it as a group because you'll get asked questions in the exam. What was your role? Mm. What did you contribute? So it's a really nice idea to have a home ed group online doing it together. And I've got a group doing my global at the moment. They're all over the country, but we're talking about the project together. They've all done their bit in a different way, in their own individual way. So some have chosen to go out and do a talk with people, and they've done a survey questionnaire before. then they've done the talk, then they've repeated the questionnaire, because that's a really good way to show a difference. Others have done it online. Others have said, I can't go out and talk to people, you know, if they're on the spectrum, or if they might have a big family and not have the access or the ability. So we've done it online, and they've done an online campaign. There's lots and lots of ways around it. And it's a really fun thing to do, I think. Now, you could get really involved in the project and take hours and hours and hours and hours. But this one has gone on and on and on. But I would try and limit it. I would try and say, right, you know, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to get it done. And what I did with my first AQA group was I taught a term of it in the summer term, and then said, right, you've got the summer to figure out your project, because it's a nice time to go out and meet people and get things done. One lad, we were doing waste, and he wanted to do a specific project on his local environment. And he went to farm shops because they generally have less plastic waste. And he advertised, he did a video with the farm shop owner advertising the farm shop and the reduction of plastic waste. So he really came at it at a different angle. And I think home educators would love that.
Mm, absolutely. And so the AQA GCSE citizenship, is that two exam papers?
Two exam papers, both an hour and 45 minutes each, both 50% of the GCSE. The first one is your project, and then is politics and participation, which is exactly what it says. What is a political party? Who are the political parties? You know, you obviously you need to know like who the prime minister is. We look at the parliament and how it's set up, the Lords. We look at political participation. So why do people not vote? What encourages people to vote? What is the voting process? It's quite detailed, and it's very UK-centric. We look at the differences between England, Scotland and Wales and devolution. It's quite a lot. And then the second paper is Life in Modern Britain, which I love. And that's my favourite aspect. That's it's what it's all about, identity, culture, different migration and different cultures making up our current culture. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. I love that. And devolution, rights and responsibilities as well. So, and then you've got a whole section on rights and responsibilities, which is everything from global rights and responsibilities. So the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, to the UN, to our rights and responsibilities. Do we ever have a situation where we don't have the same rights, such as prisoners or in war? It's really brilliant. It's a brilliant, brilliant course.
It sounds really interesting and thought-provoking. And it does sound something that a lot of home ed students naturally, these kind of topics are naturally ones that they like to talk about.
Absolutely.
Is it quite writing heavy? What are the sort of questions?
No, it really isn't. I mean, it's more writing heavy than EM. But it's not particularly writing heavy. If you look at the past papers, it's not too bad in my view. I'm just going to remind myself of the longest question, because I haven't taught this unit for a year and a half. Lots of tick box questions. So which one of these is a charity? Mind, Transport for London, the UK Civil Service, or Unison? Mm. Mm-hmm. You know, so lots of multi-choice, lots of identify one role, explain one reason, 1 and 2 mark questions. Then you've got source questions, but it's a bit more comprehension really than anything. So you might have a source that's on the paper, and it might ask you a question referring to source A and examples from your own knowledge. Mm-hmm. So they're usually about 8 marks, mm-hmm. but it's not huge. It's, you know, these aren't huge, and you've got the source to refer to. So, you know, you're only really writing a few sentences from your own knowledge. Mm. Lots of 2 marks and 4 mark questions. Then you have got 12 mark question, one on the project. But really the project question, you're going to have rehearsed your answers. Mm. So what I encourage people to do is, I've made up resources that show all of the questions ever asked on the project. And really what you're going to have done is have answered those beforehand. So you're not going into it having to think those answers up in the exam. You're going to have rehearsed it. And I know that relies on memory, but I think it's just the best way to make sure you're going to get the marks. And my view would be you're going to get pretty well 100% on the project alone if you've done a good job of it. And what I feel about both the citizenship exams for global and for AQA is that gives students a real sense of confidence, because it's the first paper and you go in and you're like, oh, my project, I did this, and this was good and that wasn't good. And you've rehearsed it. And we've discussed it so much over the time period that you really just know the answers. So the first bit, even though there's a 12 marker in AQA on it, it's really not that difficult. The next paper, Life in Modern Britain, again, 2 markers, 4 markers. The largest is an 8 marker. There's a couple of 8 markers, but they're usually things like, do you agree or disagree? And you're usually using, again, like EM, you're using a balanced argument. So you're giving, I agree because blah, 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 blah. However, or moreover, blah, 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 blah. And so they're what I call essays via bullet point. You should not use bullet points in the exam, but you do bullet points in your head and join them with connectives. And that's often what I say to students that struggle with the writing aspect from both sides of the spectrum, in terms of the less able writers or the kids with dyslexia, and the more able writers that are often too verbal. And both need to come back to that, imagine bullet points and use connectives. Because I can find the stronger, very, very able students struggle with the GCSEs, because you're trying to tell them to state the obvious. And often they're not. They're talking about all sorts of things that aren't even curriculum-based, because they've gone off and researched so much. And yeah, then when the examiner marks it, they've waffled on about 1 point for 8 marks. You know, they think they've got 8 points, but actually they're only covering 1 point on the mark scheme.
That is so true and so frustrating, because
so difficult. So I tell the students that I've ever had like that, I say to them, look, you're more of an A-level student. If you can't dumb it down, you're going to have to accept your GCSE marks might not be A's and A stars, even though you would assume that they would be, because you're too verbose and you're not getting all the points across, and you've got to try and count individual points in your head. It's the same with citizenship, really, as it is with EM. Again, politics and participation, exactly the same. Your highest question is an 8 marker. And again, to what extent do you agree? And they've given you hints. You know, it says in your answer, you should consider. And it gives you 2 bullet points. Well, in my mind then, 2 bullet points for 4 marks and 2 bullet points, you know, the other bullet point for another 4. And then you break them down into 2 for and 2 against. So it's a little bit more writing, but really not a lot more. Now, global citizenship, on the other hand, does have, I'm just going to look how big the biggest mark question is. I'm thinking it's a 15 marker. I'm just going to double check. I am really not good with memorizing exams. Your citizenship project. So these are like 4 markers for explain 2 ways in which you investigated people's views. But again, it's an explain question. So like an EM, you state it and then add a bit of development.
Before we get on to the global one, I wanted to ask, are there any other exam boards that do citizenship GCSE, or is it only AQA that does?
No, there are. There's another one, and I'm trying to remember. So Cambridge don't, I don't think. EdExcel do, but they do a GCSE, not an IGCSE. But I've done the IGCSE for global citizenship.
But for citizenship itself?
Yes, they do a citizenship exam. Whether private candidates can take it, I haven't looked.
Okay.
I instantly was drawn to the global IGCSE because I know it's an easy one for home eds to do.
So for home educators, if they want to do citizenship with more of a UK slant, it's the AQA GCSE you'd recommend. Okay.
Correct.
And so for those children that prefer something a bit more international, you would your You mentioned the Edexcel IGCSE.
Yes,
that's correct. Do Cambridge not do an IGCSE?
I don't believe they do.
It's unusual, isn't it? Okay, because then Cambridge are normally the home of these slightly niche sub IGCSEs, aren't they?
Tourism and not everybody likes the exam board. I was chatting to Sarah at Faragos, and she's not so keen. But I love Cambridge IGCSE.
I like Cambridge. I like Cambridge for some exams, like the EM. Travel and Tourism Business Studies, but I do not like them for some of their others at all. No. I like them for English. I don't like
English language. I really recommend the Cambridge qualification. I teach that as well. Or I've done it just privately with a few students, and I've really, really enjoyed doing that. But it's horses for courses, isn't it?
So tell us about the IGCSE Edexcel Global Citizenship.
So it is partly UK-based, obviously, because we're part of the global world, but it's more, you cannot just base yourself on UK examples. You will not score the marks in the exam if you're just UK-based. You can use the UK for some examples, but not for all. And it's more comparative. I love the syllabus. I don't like the exam paper as much, and there aren't as many resources available because it's global and not many people do it. Now, I'm changing that because I'm writing a distance learning course and developing resources. But because it was on and then it stopped for a while and they rewrote the spec, it's fairly new and there's only a few years of exam papers and there aren't the variants like there are in EM. So it's really difficult to get a feel for how the exam questions are going. Whereas in EM, you know, I've got so many years experience of that, I can just predict and I know exactly what the answer's going to be. I have to say marking global is a little bit more difficult. Having said that, the project is worth, I'm thinking, let me just check, 20 marks.
Does that also need to be signed off by
no.
a tutor?
No. No. So that makes it easier. So you don't even need me, you know, or any other tutor to sign it off. You can totally do it by yourself. Now, I think that's hard from scratch because the spec doesn't give you a huge amount of information. However, I will be putting information on the citizenship Facebook page, and you can just use the 8QA samples for your global citizenship projects, because it's the same project, same
so
thing.
It's the same kind of projects that they're
same kind of project. The difference is, and this is really, really important, it has to have a global aspect. So whereas the AQA, you can focus on the UK, and it can be a community action on homelessness in the UK, for example, and you could look at what's happening locally. I'm trying to think of something that isn't global and I didn't come up with a very good example there, but you could just focus on the UK. In global, it's got to be an action that focuses on a global issue. Now, I'm sure homelessness is a global issue, but...
So the issue needs to be global rather than the impact of the... So what I mean is,
correct.
For example, if you were to do plastic waste, you could still do it looking at the UK, you wouldn't have to talk about, for example, the waste goes into the oceans and that affects the rest of the world.
You would in global, it would be about why have you chosen this project? How is it affecting people globally? Wouldn't just be using an example in the UK. So for example, my current students are looking at the refugee crisis and migrants. And what they did was a PowerPoint on the difference between a migrant and a refugee and an asylum seeker, because people don't understand that. And the media is obviously very negative. And what we're learning about is the people coming across on boats and then the idea that they're going to take our jobs and that we can't cope with all these people in the UK and the Rwanda scheme and all of this. And my students this year felt that was a significant problem. And so they're looking at that from a UK perspective, partially in terms of how we're dealing with refugees and migrants, but also from a global perspective in terms of the number of migrants has increased globally, worldwide, because of the wars in Syria and Ukraine, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a global issue because people are coming on boats from other countries and the struggles that they face. And then they've compared it. They've looked at, for example, migration, internal migration in Africa and the Democratic Republic of Congo and things like that. So You're much more global in your overall research. Clearly, your action is not going to be global. It's going to be a local thing. But what it might do would be to change people's minds on a global issue, to educate people on a global issue or raise awareness.
How is the IGCSE EdExcel Global Citizenship Project, how is that assessed in the exam? I mean, what sort of questions come up?
Same way as in AQA. You state your action, you state the global issue that it relates to, you things like why you chose to investigate it, the links between your project and an issue for concern for your community or a named community. So it could be a community abroad, but it could be I live in Radford and we have a high population of immigrants and they need to access services and there's a lack of interpreters in schools or et cetera. I'm just coming up with things off the top of my head. Or it could be related to a theme in the course. It could be things like, the same as AQA, how could you have improved what you did? How could people benefit from your action? So you'd say it's raised awareness, for example. Does that make sense?
It does. And is it the same? I think you mentioned that with the AQA GCSE citizenship, it was a quarter of the GCSE. With the questions for the project in the IGCSE Global Citizenship, is it the same kind of weighting?
Yes, it is. I'm going to double check the exact weighting. I do not have figures in my head. So the total number, it's one paper, the global.
It's one exam paper.
One paper only, which benefits some people and doesn't others. It's 2.5 hours.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
it sounded really good right up until you said that.
Yeah, it's a long paper. But if you get exam nerves going into lots of different papers and you'd rather just go and get it done in one go, it's good. If you're having a good day, it's good. If you're having a not good day, it's not so good because you're not spreading your exam nerves over 2 days. My daughter preferred it by far. She was like, yeah, Mum, just go in, let's get it done and I'm out of here. So 4 themes, all in 2.5 hours. Total marks of the paper is 100. And what did I say the project was? Didn't I say 20? So it's a fifth.
A fifth, yep, okay. So it's slightly less weighting than the GCSE. Okay, so 1 2.5 hour paper. And did you say 4 themes?
Yes, 4 themes. Politics and governance, economic development and the environment, culture and the community, and technology. There is a textbook that goes with the course, which is good. I'm also writing a distance learning course that you wouldn't need a textbook for. Lots of examples, lots of global examples. So you're looking at issues around the world. So in politics, for example, you don't just look at our politics and our government and it being a constitutional monarchy and a democracy. We compare that with, for example, a totalitarian government, a dictatorship or hybrid governments that are trying to be democratic but aren't, voting in different areas and countries.
How topical are the questions? Do they bring in things that are on the new? Like, for example, when I was at school, I'm this old, I did general studies for A-level.
Yes.
I think we
yes,
all had
same
to do
sort
it,
of
actually.
Thing.
Is so they bring in topical things. They might have the war in Ukraine, for example.
Absolutely.
Or that kind of thing.
So I'm trying to keep my slides very topical. So obviously the textbook is going out of date very fast. You know, it's only a year old, but it's, you know, things are changing, but it's very, very topical. Some of the topics are good over time. Others are brand new. And I like that. And the sources in the exam will be new topics. So, I think EM's following that suit because last year the HS2 was on the paper, wasn't it? So very topical. And that again, is what I like about it, because it does encourage you to watch the news. Now, I know the news can be a little bit depressing, but it does keep you current and up to date. But I try and share those on the we've got a Citizenship for Home Ed Facebook page, and I try and share things that are used topically to help people with the exam. But, you know, some of it is historic as well, like systems of government. You're obviously going to think about China and North Korea as useful governments to consider. We look at something called the HDI, which is the Human the Development Index, which compares countries and looks at life expectancy and education, crossovers with EM again. A bit of economics, but not a great deal. I really am not hot on economics, and I get by. You know, it's things like gross national income and GDP and things like that. But it's a small part of the course. And if you, even if you're not mathematical, it's not difficult.
Is there much data analysis, graph analysis,
no,
that kind
of thing? No, there really isn't. Though it's less mathematical. Human rights, I mean, something I find really interesting. And you can pick up case studies again. So it might be the UN's peacekeeping role in Syria, or it might be Gaza, or it might be the refugee crisis. You might be looking at how human rights are upheld in our country and in Europe, or you might look at things. And then we move on to international law, which again, you know, is really, really interesting, and how the Court of Justice works and how long it takes to bring people to justice. So, for example, you know, Putin's been referred, but will they ever be able to take Putin to the court to try him is another question. Lots of debate. So I think it's nice to have a group running. So my plan is like I'm doing with EM at the moment, is to have a relaxed group, not exam focused, not like doing exam questions every week, but learning the content and having the discussion, and then just switching up after that to doing exam papers. Because I'm actually finding that the group that are doing that are progressing faster than the IGC CSE groups that I've run, because there's no stress, and yet they're learning more content than I teach on the IGCSE course and really enjoying it, and I don't have any stress. And the questions I'm giving them, don't tell anybody, well, it's a podcast, everybody's going to know, are actually exam questions off the IGCSE, but I haven't framed them like that. So I think I'll do the same with citizenship, run a key stage 2-3 group, where we can have those debates and those conversations, which makes citizenship much better. I think if you do it home alone, so unless you've got parents that are willing to enter these debates with you, I think it's good to know both sides of the argument. And it's tempting as a parent to give your child your own views, whereas you need them with citizenship to have both sides,
I know,
even
that
if it's against your current viewpoint.
I know that about 5 years ago, I was mulling over setting up a group which basically looked at whatever was in the news that week, and we would all just discuss it. And because my background was in teaching, but it was in religion and philosophy, and I didn't really much fancy tutoring in those subjects. I like them a lot. I don't like the exams in them. So I just thought, okay, yeah, I don't really want to tutor them. And I actually did not even know that citizenship existed then. And if I was ever to do tutoring, I would definitely do citizenship.
You would, you'd have loved it.
It's such an amazing subject that we all need to, it should be compulsory. I think it should be compulsory.
Well, it is compulsory in schools up to GCSE. So they do it in key stage 1, 2, and 3.
They don't all take PSHE, don't they?
Well, and citizenship. So
do they?
Yeah, they do PSHE and citizenship. And I'm a member of the Association of Citizenship Teaching now. It's taken me a while to persuade them to give me a home educator's fee, because they wanted me to pay the school's fee, which, you know, little on me, I'm like, no way, I can't afford that. But I now have access to all their resources and their CPD, which is great.
Really?
Because I'm doing a course on fraud at the moment with them. And it's not something I would have considered teaching. It's not part of the IGCSE or GCSE curriculum. But it's brilliant because it's teaching young people about fraud, about scams. And that's essential learning, really. And I don't know about you, Eleanor, you look far younger than I am. But, you know, I'm of an age where I'm not really up to date with the latest TikTok technology or the latest Snapchats or even all of the apps that people are on these days, and therefore can't really advise about the scams that come up on them. And they said on this fraud course, it was fascinating, was it's young people in schools that they're targeting for fraud now, because people are being asked, young people through games and apps are being asked to hold money in their bank account, and then they give it back. But that's actually a criminal offence. But young people are getting caught up in it and not understanding and then getting charged. So the fraud course I'm doing with ACT is absolutely brilliant. And when I finished it, it's over a few months, I'm definitely going to run a course on fraud. So I'm going to do some just ad hoc courses just for the love of it. And then some that will focus on the GCSE content or IGCSE content. But it absolutely is so critical. How many of our young people, I don't know about, I mean, at home ed, I think probably are more conscious and aware, but in schools don't know how to vote or don't see the point in voting.
Yeah, or don't see the point of it, exactly. Yeah.
And you know, many of us feel that it's a wasted vote. I live in a, you know, an area that is not particularly, it's definitely not of the political viewpoint that I believe in. And therefore my vote is somewhat wasted. And so it's having those discussions about what do we do about that?
I think home-ed children are often so switched on to this. I know that I remember very distinctly when my children were about 10 and 11, we decided to look through, it was the general election. We thought we'd look through all the manifestos of all of the main parties.
Yeah.
And we put them all up on a big whiteboard and we compared them all. And we discovered that our favourites were a mixture of Greens and UKIP. And we were like, what is happening to us? Like, because some of the UKIP policies, like, they're very pro-home-ed,
really good.
Really bizarrely. So it's like we find ourselves really struggling. But it was one of those that I think home educated children quite often from a very young age are very switched on to their rights and how because they're outside of the norm.
They're outside of the systems and they've had to fight for, you know, for services or for whatever, and they have to do it by themselves, and it does make them a different thinker, which is why when I see people saying, oh, if I home educate, will my child ever get anywhere? I feel like shouting down the laptop, of course. You know, it's just incredible learning. I mean, my daughter's thrived through home education and was snapped up by a top university, you know, because she's got that kind of brain that, and she's developed through all sorts of different ways of learning, which has just held her in good stead. But
and
back
actually,
to global.
And actually people come on Facebook groups and they say, you know, I'm worried that if I home educate, you know, will my child be normal and will they fit in? And I always want to go, I hope not. That would be awful.
Yeah, absolutely. I say to pretty well every student I teach, be unique, be different, be you, because I am and I'm here. And I say that, you know, I very openly say they offered to diagnose me when they diagnosed Tegan. And I was like, look, I know who I am. I know I'm on the spectrum. I don't need you to write it on a bit of paper, and undoubtedly ADHD as well. However, I got to an assistant headship and was heading for headship if I hadn't have come out to home educate my daughter. And so you can do anything you like in this world, can't you? And I think home education gives you that flexibility to see that you don't have to either. Like, you know, you can carry on studying and study in whatever way you like, however you like. And this idea as well, Eleanor, that you've got to do 10 or 11 or 12 IGCSEs and you know, people stressing and starting at 11. And I'm like, oh, enjoy your time before you start the exam curriculum. And that's again why I've set up these Key Stage 2, 3 groups that don't just do the past papers, but that are really about the learning, because the kids enjoy the learning. Once you somehow, I don't know why, but once you frame it in exam terms, the joy of learning drops. And I don't know anybody that disagrees with that. When you actually start focusing on the specs and the points and the marks, the joy of learning reduces somewhat. It's still enjoyable and it's still a brilliant course, but you've got to kind of keep that joy of learning as long as you can, I think.
Yeah, it's very true. My son wanted to learn German because he watched The Great Escape and wanted to be able to shout at his sister in authentic German. Classic home ed reason to start studying something. And he self-taught himself German, and then I got him a tutor. And then I thought, well, as he's doing it, foolishly, I thought, he may as well do the GCSE in it. And I really regret that, because as soon as he did the GCSE, he stopped learning German. He moved on to another language. But it's almost like as soon as the exam came into it, his brain shifted gear and thought, okay, yeah, Now this is about the exam, not about the learning. Okay, so however, I could bitch on about exams for a really long time. So yeah, when it comes to the questions in the IGCSE EdXL, are they the same kind of length questions? Is it a bit more writing heavy? What's the deal with that?
It is a bit more writing heavy. So, let me rephrase that. There are longer questions in it, but a huge chunk is multiple choice. And I pretty well could tell you that if you started it, you could probably use the sources and answer the questions without having ever done the course or read a textbook. So a large part is multi-choice based on source, or a four mark answer based on source, which is two reasons why. So you state and then develop. So just like EM. Then you do have questions. Let me just see, not a nine marker. But this is like an EM nine marker, for example. Further biodiversity losses in oceans and forests are easily preventable. Provide reasoned arguments to support and oppose this statement. Mm. So nine marks, you're going to have one mark for your statement and your conclusion, four for and four against. So again, it's bullet point answer in an essay form. So it's not too bad. They give you a page of lines for it. Then you've got loads more multi-choice again based on a source, which I tell you, the sources are not difficult to read. You know, we're talking half a page. We're not talking lengthy sources. And another nine marker. This one again, international migration is the most important cause of global cultural change. Provide reasoned arguments to support and oppose. So again, four against. You're talking about migration, which you've already covered if you've done EM. And how does it change culture? Well, obviously, if more people come from different countries, what does that change? And it's really very like EM in the way your brain thinks. You think, so if that happens, this is going to happen. Therefore, language is going to change. Music will be added. Dance might be added. Films might be added. Food, diet changes. So then you've got the option of we're now eating a more diverse food, religion. You know, it's those links. It's just following the links and developing it a bit. And then a five marker on the SDGs. So you look at the Sustainable Development Goals. And then the longest question is a 15 marker. So I think AQA was 12, wasn't it? And I think GCC is 15. But again, it's a how far do you agree? And it's the thing with GC is to remember you've got to look at your own and other countries. You can't just focus on the UK, but you'll have studied it all. And you've got to, so this is important with the 15 marker, use evidence from different global citizenship contexts. So the way I'm teaching the students I've got at the moment to break it down is you've got four themes in global citizenship. So just to go back over those, they are politics and governments, economic development and the environment, culture and community and technology. And then when you go and do that 15 marker, you're going to think about, okay, well, I'm going to do three or four points from each theme. So three things about politics, three things about economic development and the environment, three about culture, three about technology, roughly, so that you're covering your own and other countries and you're covering each theme. And then it's show different points of view. So two for, two against or whatever. Mm. And I think, although it is, you know, they give you two or three pages to write on for that. It is lengthy. I mean, it is, you know, it's lengthy. It's at the end of the paper. But I don't think it's difficult to pick up the marks.
Would you recommend answering it earlier in the exam?
It depends on the student. I'm one of those, I don't like making global statements about things like that. I think if you answered it early, you could spend too much time on it and then not get the easy one mark questions done. Personally, no, I'd leave it to the end where it is and I'd crack through and get all the marks, because the first thing you do is your project, which you're going to get your marks on because you've learned that. The rest is mainly source questions and things that aren't really that difficult. I mean, honestly, some of the multi-choice are really, I'm going to give you an example. Let me get up an exam paper and give you an example of one of the multi-choice, because they're really, really not that challenging. So you've read a source about migrants, and source C, according to source C, where did most new forced migrants come from in 2019? And then it gives you four countries and they're in the source. According to source A, the loss of rainforest trees is a significant cause of climate change based on your own knowledge. Oh, okay, this is a good one. Based on your own knowledge, this is because trees, A, use sunlight, B, use water, C, store carbon, D, store oxygen. So it's they're not that challenging. So I personally know I would suggest get through the paper and then do the written question. And honestly, 2.5 hours is ample.
Yeah.
You've got plenty of time left. I haven't done a breakdown yet of how many minutes per point, but you've got plenty of time, and I will do, and I'll get it onto my Facebook page, onto the citizenship one. I'll do that, not today because I'm swamped with teaching today, but I will get that done in the next 24 hours. But you've got plenty of time to answer that question. And you can, you know, I would recommend they do a plan at the beginning for and against, and make sure that they're covering the four themes. Yeah, there we are. So
that's really helpful. I have got a couple of questions. My first question is, which would you say is harder? Now, I know it's a difficult question to answer because it depends on the child and all of that. But is there between the GCSE citizenship and the IGCSE global citizenship, is there one that you think is just maybe easier or more fun or more, you know, more enjoyable? Is there one that you prefer, I suppose, is what I'm asking.
Mm.
Which is your favourite child?
I wish I was on video. You'd see my facial expression. Okay, here's the thing. Global, I prefer because it's global and I've got that kind of mind. I like learning about other countries and I like not just being UK centric. I think it's preferable for home educators in that sense. I think people think like that more, maybe. It does focus a little bit on the UK, but really not that much. I think the learning is easier personally. However, it only has a handful of current past papers, like four. There is an old spec, but they did change the spec quite a lot. So the old spec papers aren't really as useful. But they're partly useful, but not very useful, not like an EM. The other thing is there are no resources out there on it other than the textbook. The textbook is good, but you're going off less background, really, until it's established again. So that's the only thing I don't like about it. So when I'm marking it now, I'm as less sure of my marking as I would be with AQA, which has tons and tons of exemplars and past papers, and the mark schemes are easier to be sure that you're getting the marks. However, I think the exam for global is easier, provided you can conquer that 15 marker. And I prefer to teach it.
Okay,
AQA, in my view, has a lot more knowledge. It takes longer. It's more so when you look at life in modern Britain, okay, the values bit and the identity bit are easier. The role of the media and the free press is fairly easy. But when you get to the UK's role in international organisations, which is 3.2.4, so it's one unit out of five in unit one. It's just massive in terms of, you know, our role with the UN and the W and NATO and WTO and the EU and Brexit and the Commonwealth and NGOs. And I found it really interesting. And in some ways, I'd recommend it because it's more useful knowledge if you live here and you want to learn about our life and the way it relates to international organizations. But if you're not somebody that can memorize a lot of information and really find learning about each of those different aspects interesting, then it's a bit of a turnoff, I think, at the beginning. Rights and responsibilities, I loved, but that's my, you know, that's my slant, I think. I'm more sociology based, I think. And then political politics and participation is similar. It's just more, again, more, it's all UK centric. So it's learning about the different parties and their roles and devolution and the role of the Lords and the Houses of Commons. But that's more, I don't want to say it's more factual, because obviously there's facts in global citizenship, but what's the best way to describe it? It's a bit drier.
Mm.
You know, learning the process of the Commons and the Lords. For me, it's not my bag. It doesn't sink in because I'm not really emotionally invested in it. Whereas global, there's not a single topic that I haven't been really emotionally connected to and loved.
You mentioned resources and that they're quite scant for the IGCSE. Are there any resources that you like to use for the AQA GCSE in citizenship?
I've got tons, but where I got them from, I do not know. I taught it 2 years ago and I've got folders full of stuff, but there's tons of AQA stuff on the Citizenship for Home Educators Facebook page, because when I did AQA, I made that page and I bombarded it with AQA resources. Global, I'm making the resources, so it's not as bombarded because I'm making it as I go along and then I'm teaching from them before I post them because I want to see that they work. I don't want to give people, you know, things that aren't as good as they should be. So I've been more reticent to post stuff. Now I'm at the end of teaching that because my students are taking it in May. My plan is over half term, which is next week for me, to go back through the entire course, make sure I'm happy with it. Because one of the issues with it, Eleanor, is that it's the weighting of the syllabus. It's very scant, the spec. And with EM, I decided on how much to teach on each thing based on looking at hundreds of past papers and think, well, these are the kinds of questions that come up, so I need to focus on that in my teaching. With GC, you haven't got that. And so you don't know how in depth to go into the subjects. And so I think I've probably gone into too much depth in some areas, which is interesting and fun. And the kids have loved it. The kids that I've got on the course are loving it. But it could take you longer.
Yeah.
I think I can pare it down so it could be done in a year, but at the moment I'm doing it over 2 years. I don't think that would be necessary given the ease of the exam questions. But when you're first tutoring something or first doing it with your child, you kind of, I think, do it more comprehensively than once you really get embedded into a course and think, right, I can pare this down. With EM, you know, teaching, say, photosynthesis, they just need to know the word equation. You do not need to go into the biological side of it. And it's the same with GC.
With both of these exams, can they both be sit in the summer and the November sitting?
Oh, you're asking me questions that I have to check. Brain fog.
It's okay. I am asking you tricky questions today.
Well, it's fine. And I should know them, shouldn't I? But I do know, but I have this thing where I have to double check everything. I am almost certain. I tell you what, I'll check and put it up on my Facebook rather than have you wait.
All right. That's Sorry. Okay. It's a kind of niche question. I wanted to ask about A-levels. Because I know this is primarily about GCSEs and IGCSE, but just as a little final question, are these subjects available if a student wanted to continue them at A-level, do you know?
Now, environmental management is definitely AS, and I'm pretty sure it's A-level. We're not talking about that. We're talking about global. I don't know is the simple answer. I don't teach A-levels. I'm sure there must be. I don't know whether there is a AQA. It looks like they do an A-level. Whether it would be sociology, you know, it's kind of a bit of everything. And whether they do it, I don't know. Pearson citizenship, I wonder.
I ask because increasingly I'm finding that there are increasing numbers of students, home educated students, who are now doing A-levels. Back 5 years ago, so few people did A-levels. But
And that's why I never progressed to it. I kind of thought, oh, no.
There is a growing group of home educated teens who are now doing A-levels at home. It's very nice. My son is one of them. And it's very nice. It's very nice to see that move where I remember about 5 years ago, pretty much all home educated children went to college at 16 and a lot of them went at 14, actually.
Yep,
and so
did.
It was quite difficult to meet other home educated teens at an older age. But there's so many now who are going.
I have been
18.
Asked quite a lot for A-level and I just tried to fit it in. I want to get these up and running first. And then I may well look at carrying on to the A-level because I've got a number of students that do very well in both EM and citizenship. You know, that like a lot of students get A's or B's and would easily manage the A-level if there was
I
one.
I bet it would be fun as well. I bet an A-level in citizenship would be really fun.
Wouldn't it be great?
Lovely. I'd do that one.
So I think global is only available in the May.
Okay, so
May, June.
So global citizenship is one exam in summer, we think.
Yeah.
And then, but the AQA GCSE citizenship is probably summer and autumn sittings.
I'm going to look at that while I talk. This has been brilliant. Thank you very much.
Forcing you to do research.
No, yes. It's I love that because it's like, Jeanette, why don't you know this? Look it up. I love learning. I love challenging myself to do the different specs. I'm just about to take on travel and tourism just because I've got people asking. And it's like, do you know what? That would be so interesting. And my brother's an airline pilot, for goodness sake. And again, a lot of it relates to EM and sustainable development and ecotourism. And I'm like, do you know what? I could just write that by the end of the summer. That would be fun. And I'm one of those teachers I'm an odd teacher. I love the research, the planning, and the assessment. Love.
We did a podcast about this time last year called Exam Hacks. And the main hack that was in our Exam Hacks episode was that Cambridge IGCSE Environmental Management, Travel and Tourism and Business Studies is three GCSEs with the content of 1.5 GCSEs because there's so much crossover. You only need to learn 1.5 GCSEs worth of content to cover all three GCSEs.
Yep, that makes sense.
And that podcast inspired me to put my daughter into travel and tourism with 3 months' notice, and she managed to get a C with exactly zero revision. She did past papers only. She didn't actually study travel and tourism at any point, and she just used her EM knowledge and just general knowledge to get a C.
A lot of it is general knowledge, and you know, I think. And, you know, I do want to encourage home educators. You don't need to use distance learning courses or tutors. And although I clearly now am a distance learning provider and a tutor, I didn't have them for my own daughter. And that's how I ended up making these resources. And I really, you know, I'm the admin on both of the EM groups, for example. I say it in the citizenship group as well, and I will do with travel and tourism. I'm happy to give away loads of free resources because I was a home ed parent that couldn't afford tutors. And also my daughter didn't really want tutors. She was happy doing it at home, and we did it our way. And it really is, I just think because I've got that assessment and planning brain, it really is just dragging it all together, isn't it? For a mum, it's a lot of work. And the reason I set up the other EM group, which is allowed tutors, is because there are parents out there now that home educate, but are working as well and struggling just to draw it all together. And they want to spend the time actually with their child doing the work, not doing all the assessment and planning. So that's why I try and make everything very reasonably costed. Really, I don't charge for the actual learning materials. It's more just for my time doing the assessment and the marking. But people find that useful because I know when I was a home ed mum, I'd be like, well, I've marked it, but I don't know if I've marked it correctly. So I think just having a course where you've got a few assignments, that you've got somebody else marking it with a different viewpoint helps.
Yeah, it helps enormously. And I did a podcast recently on how to use past papers in revision. And one of the things we touched on was how important it is to get a sense of when you're marking it at home with the mark scheme, whether you're sort of like guessing into the answers because you know your child's shorthand almost, and how important it is to every now and then get a paper externally marked in some way or have a third person look over it just so that you know you're vaguely on the right track. So you mentioned your Facebook group. So tell our listeners about them, because I know that the Facebook groups for some of these niche subjects are very important because it's where we pool a lot of our resources.
Yes. And I mean, we can't advertise on most home ed groups as well, you know, so it's difficult. I mean, I probably can mention the groups, but obviously we can't advertise ourselves. So there's several. First of all, there's the EM group that was set up years ago I think Dorothy Murphy was the first person that set it up. She was a brilliant tutor, and my daughter ended up doing English with her in Oxford. I got to know her. She asked for other people to admin. So I'm one of the admins on that. And that's environmental management for home ed without tutors or courses. And I changed the name of it so that I could set up another group for people with tutors, because there is a market for that. There is a need for people that do want some sort of help. Now, I do also keep reiterating, you don't necessarily need help, but if you want help, this is where it is. Now, I've invited Jake from Humanities to join. I don't think he has. but he's invited. But I mean, think they've got plenty of work like I do. I've also invited Damien from Earthlings Learning to join because the three of us have collaborated on some charity webinars, and they're people that I know I can recommend. And obviously Elon with Amy, but Amy doesn't need my recommendations. She's like, I mean, they're all flying. They're all doing what we do and doing it really well. But they're the key people I would recommend in terms of support. And Damien's just joined the group. So it's a group I've set up. We've got about 463 people on it. But I try and do an equal share with that group and the one without tutors so that people are getting access to the materials. But I do put, obviously, if I'm running courses, I advertise them on the one with tutors. So I'm running this EM course on a Monday, 3 to 4, that's live but also recorded. And that's, I can advertise those then. And there's tend to be 6 weeks, so people can drop in and out. So if they think, well, I don't need help with rocks and minerals, it's a doddle. But actually, and energy is easy as well. But when I got to agriculture, I was a bit overwhelmed. So the same with citizenship. That's the plan, is to do ad hoc courses. I'll say if they're on the spec, if it's AQA or citizenship, or it covers global, or it covers both. But also ad hoc courses on things like how to vote, because we're in an election year. And I want to do some just for fun and learning courses. So tell
us about the courses that you offer for the citizenship specs and where our listeners can find you.
Well, I haven't, at the moment I'm teaching the IGCSE as a course, but from Easter there will be ad hoc courses, and you can find me on Facebook, and that is facebook.com/getkeyedup, so get keyed up, home ed tutor is my tag, and also online on my website, which is www.getkeyedup.co.uk. And then within that now, I've just updated it. I'm not a technical whiz, I have to say. I'm a home ed mum who's ended up, and obviously in a qualified teacher, but I'm not a business whiz or a home ed whiz. But I've now managed to separate it out into distance learning courses, my book clubs, which are Wednesday afternoons, which are fab just for the fun of learning, reading books and learning English language skills. And then EM classes and citizenship classes, and they will be added by Easter, probably half term. They might actually go on next week, but I'm not quite there.
And I just want to give a shout out to Jeanette's Maths for EM course. Oh, yes. I think it's like a week course that you do, like a week of evening classes. And my son and my daughter have both done that, and I found it so helpful for just some of the graphs, because EM has a kind of almost unique style of maths that it does.
It does.
EM
are like no other pie chart. They're divided into 10. And you don't use angles and degrees, and you don't have to do percentage. It's just weird. And they break their own rules with their pie charts. So they say you do the largest segment first, and then on the exam they put one with the smaller segment first, and you're like, what do I do now? So yes, I do. So I'm now, Eleanor, running a Maths for EM course that's a 10-week course for the people that are really struggling, that I'm getting their assignments and they're like, can't do any of the maths. So I'm running that, and I'm going to actually set it up additional to my distance learning so that people have got more of the maths. But I do two intensive revisions. One is the EM content, which people have said they find very useful. Again, it's a week of nights, 6 till 7:30, just before the exams. It's sometime in April. It's on my website. But Monday we do unit 1 and unit 2. And then we do unit 3 on its own because it's so big. And then 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. But we do a combination of a very quick run through of the key points. So you've just got that reminder of the key points to learn for each unit. And then exam-based questions and some games, which just makes you feel like you're not revising on your own.
I think for my son, he really liked that because he'd obviously, most home ed students do self-study EM, and he had self-studied EM, and he found that 1 week whiz through of all the units particularly helpful, just to make him feel that he hadn't missed anything, and that he also understood what they were asking for in the exam, which is sometimes very different to actually learning the content. Transferring that into an exam question is sometimes quite difficult, isn't it?
It is, and I think especially if you've used the textbook, because especially, and I would just say with EM, I know we're talking about citizenship, but with EM, please don't bother with the workbook, textbook answers and questions. They're just so far off the past papers, it's unreal. So read the chapters, but don't do the questions at the end, and don't use the workbook, in my humble opinion, because the past papers are far better. And, you know, on the EM, both of those EM Facebook pages, there are files which break down every exam paper into the types, the topics of the questions. So you can go to the files and Google a question, and I will be doing the same for citizenship for both AQA and global. I will break down each exam paper that there's ever been into the topic of the question. So for example, if you're doing EM and you want pie charts, if you go to those files and search pie charts, you'll find questions with pie charts in. Because that takes time. It's just a job that nobody wants to do, that I did because I'm that kind of brain.
Yeah, and it's, and as somebody whose daughter is currently doing history, and I seem to be spending my entire life with exam papers scattered all over the floor and me trying to compile all of the 2-mark questions, 4-mark questions, 8-mark questions, yeah, in for each topic, I can safely say that it is really joyous when somebody does that work for you, so you don't have to, because so, yeah, it takes a lot of time.
It takes a lot of time, and you know, it's why not share it with other home editors so they're not all doing the same thing, because nobody else wants to really have to do that. So
exactly. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, Jeanette, and talking us through citizenship, AQA GCSE, and IGCSE EdXL Global Citizenship. It was really lovely having you guiding us through these 2 different specifications.
You're very welcome. And any questions, just feel free to post them on my Get Geared Up page or email me at getgearedup@icloud.com, and I'm willing to answer them.
That's perfect. Thank you so much, Jeanette.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's Home Education Matters podcast. See you at the next one. Have a lovely day.